Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to an emergency episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewire News Group podcast hosted by the legal journalism team. That's just like, you know, what the hell, man? Just why? Why are you targeting us, Texas? I'm Rewire News Group senior editor of law and policy, Imani Gandhi.
And I'm Jess Piclo, Rewire News Group's executive editor. Rewire News Group is the one and only home for expert repro journalism that inspires you to support abortion providers and patients in Texas. And the Team Legal podcast is part of that mission. So a big thanks to our subscribers and a welcome to our new listeners. So, Man, okay, so much is happening. First of all, folks, go over to Rewire News Group's Twitter feed. We are breaking news left, right, and center with what is happening in Texas, the Supreme Court, and abortion rights and access. We are crushing it over there. So much is happening. It's moving so fast, and that's where you're going to find all of it. So please, if you're not right now, follow us over at Rewire News Group on Twitter, because look, the landscape has changed. It's going to be changing every day from here on out, and that's where you're going to find the latest. And please, please, please sign up for our newsletter, because we've got a big announcement coming up, and you're going to find it there. So, Imani, did you get a nap in? Let me ask you that. Did you take a nap?
I did. I took a 20-minute nap, and I have to say that, you know, considering that the two of us now both live in Boulder, the fact that we weren't together last night counting down the end of abortion rights and the end of Roe v. Wade was really just poor planning on our part.
Yeah, it was.
That said, I truly didn't expect what happened to happen last night, right? I've been saying for a while, I'm going to enjoy this year because this is basically the last year of democracy, the last year of abortion rights, because I was assuming that we had until at least the court heard the Mississippi case before they were just going to gut Roe. But no, they just decided to up and do it just randomly without doing anything at all. So Jess, can you please just explain to me what the hell happened last night?
Yeah, because it is quite possible that folks woke up and are like, wait, did something happen at the Supreme Court? Because you know what? A lot of folks in media aren't talking about it. And everything that went down last night happened under cover of darkness. So let's get to it.
Yes.
Last night, the justices refused to intervene in the fight over Texas's 6-week abortion ban. And that let it take effect. That means that right now, on the books in Texas, there is a 6-week abortion ban.
A 6-week pre-viability abortion ban, which ostensibly are unconstitutional. But now, who the hell knows? So the law is called SB 8. It bans abortion at 6 weeks gestation, which is before most people even know that they're pregnant. It's literally 2 weeks after a missed period. And considering a lot of women, a lot of people with uteruses don't really have regular periods, you miss your period for 2 weeks, especially in a pandemic under stress, you're not really going to think about it. So it effectively is a total abortion ban in Texas. That's bad enough. Then Texas did something really diabolical by outsourcing enforcement of the law to what Andrea Grimes, one of my favorite people, likes to call any random motherfucker, right? any person in the country who has beef with abortion can go find someone in Texas who is either providing abortion or aiding and abetting an abortion and then sue them civilly. And if they sue them and they win, they get $10,000 for their trouble. Texas has created a mercenary society based on abortion bounty hunting. And it is absolutely unconscionable.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around beef with abortion.
Wait, you ain't got beef with abortion? Yo, son, I got beef with abortion. Meet me up in the schoolyard, 3 o'clock. Hi, bitches. I don't know what I'm talking about.
We are just off the rails already because of all of this. Verklempt is it. It's bad. So Amani's absolutely right. We've got abortion vigilantes out there now empowered to enforce a state ban on abortion at 6 weeks. And it's a mess. So what's going on? Yeah.
And not only that, they outsourced enforcement to private citizens and divested enforcement from public officials, right? Normally, when a state like Texas passes an unconstitutional pre-viability abortion ban, lawyers will lawyer, you know, abortion clinics will lawyer up, file a lawsuit, seek an injunction. That injunction will be granted because 6 weeks is it's pre-viability and that's unconstitutional. And then the litigation goes forward and everyone can argue about whether or not it's unconstitutional or whether it is. But Texas has removed that possibility. Texas is saying, you can't sue Governor Greg Abbott. You can't sue Attorney General Ken Paxton because these public officials have no authority under the law to enforce the law. So you can't sue someone for doing something that the law says they're not permitted to do. It's really just a dismantling of the way litigation is supposed to work and, quite frankly, a dismantling of democracy in Texas.
And that point that you made is so important because it's effectively, I've been calling it like a poison pill in this statute because it has allowed it to take effect in weird ways because it's not like folks didn't try to challenge it, right? That's how we got here. Advocates sued to block the law, but through some procedural shenanigans related to this outsourcing of enforcement, the Fifth Circuit has managed to stall out the timeline of anybody being able to get an injunction in this case. They stepped in and said, nope, the enforcement mechanism means that likely this isn't going to go forward and we're going to sit on it. And they're still sitting on it. So advocates ran to the Supreme Court and said, this is not right, filed an emergency petition with the justices and asked for a temporary order just to basically let their lawsuit go forward. Let a district court hear arguments here on the merits of what Texas is trying to do here. And guess what? The Supreme Court didn't issue that order last night, and the Supreme Court still hasn't issued that order. And that's what lets the law take effect. And that means that right now there is limbo for this litigation. There is nowhere for it to go until the Fifth Circuit acts. And so, I mean, that's basically a soft reversal of Roe versus Wade on the shadow docket. Or, as I like to nerdily call it, a pocket veto of your right to an abortion.
Just really loves that pocket veto stuff. And our producer's like,
our producer's shaking his head at me, and I don't care. That is good stuff. Yes, it is. Nerds unite.
But I know that there are a lot of people who are just confused about what happened at the Fifth Circuit. So I do want to try to explain it as best I can. It's going to get procedurally risky, which I know Jess hates, but I like it. And maybe I can make you listeners like it. So advocates filed this lawsuit against two sets of defendants, against government defendants, Ken Paxton, Governor Greg Abbott. And then they also filed a lawsuit against individual defendants. The government defendants filed a motion to dismiss and asserted sovereign immunity, right? We're public officials. You can't sue us. We're immune from suit. This individual defendant, this guy, Mark Dixon, who has basically been running around screaming about how he's going to be one of the guys who's going to be enforcing this law and he's going to be harassing providers and, quote, aiders and abettors of abortion to basically harass them and impel them to stop performing abortions or helping people get abortions. Mm-hmm. He's not a public official.
Right.
He can't assert sovereign immunity. So what the district court did is said, okay, fine. I'm going to stay the case as to the government defendants because the government defendants went and appealed to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Uh-huh.
This guy Dixon also decided to appeal to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, even though under a procedural rule, which I'm not going to get into, he's not permitted to, right? He didn't assert sovereign immunity. Therefore, he's not permitted to do this sort of intermediate, immediate appeal of a basic, essential pretrial order, right? So now what he's saying is that he is entitled to be in the Fifth Circuit, that he is entitled to be subject to the Fifth Circuit's jurisdiction, just as the government defendants are, simply because he also thinks that the government defendants should have sovereign immunity.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. He's like, oh, yeah, I know I don't have sovereign immunity, but because I'm not a public official. But, you know, if you go ahead and litigate this lawsuit against me and an injunction is granted, that blocks the law against me. But it also blocks the law against everyone, including these government defendants who are immune and who are still trying to fight for this law. So he's basically saying, sure, I'm not a public official, but they are. So I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, hitch my wagon to their star. It's absurd.
There is no you get 'em girl defense in the law. Like,
right. It's like, go girl, me too. Like, you can't be another defendant's hype man. That's what this guy Mark Dixon wants to be. He wants to be like one of those dudes on, like, when you go to a hip hop show and they're just like, they're just behind Jay-Z going, yeah, 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 throw him up, wave your hands in the air. Like, you can't do that in court. That's not how it works. So this should have been an easy thing. The Fifth Circuit should have said, no, get out of here. The district court can still enjoin this law as to you, and therefore it enjoins the law writ large. But the Fifth Circuit didn't do that, because the Fifth Circuit is chock full of Trump judges and chock full of other Republican appointed numpties who hate abortion and will do anything to decimate it, even if it means essentially destroying democracy in the state of Texas. Like, I've never heard of the yeah, me too defense in appellate court. Like, that doesn't, that's just,
I'm just imagining a list of, like, a lineup of defendants right now, and they're like, yeah, yeah, like, totally, like,
just like, you know, just with their pants sagging and like gold, like Flava Flav clots being like, yeah, 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 go get up, yeah, yeah. I mean, stop it. What is happening here, people? Crying out loud. I need to go on another small rant, if you will pardon me. But you're going to like this one.
You know what? Like, all bets are off now, Imani. Literally. We are in a brave new world. Rant away.
So I want to talk about the fact that Jess and I have been on this beat for a decade.
Oh, I didn't know where this was going.
We have been covering reproductive rights, abortion rights, and the law for a decade. Together, we've been doing it for about 6 years, but we've been working in the same environment for 10 years. So if there is anyone on this God's green internet who understands what is going on with this law, it is Jess and me and the rest of us at Rewire News Group. How do I know this? Because last night, while Jess and I were frantically trying to inform everyone that Roe was officially dead and that Texas had basically banned abortion, there were local reports from people saying, no, 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 there's a state case and this state judge already blocked the law. Let's talk about how that's not true.
Yeah.
And let's talk about how the reporting is wrong and how it's dangerous, because these reporters who don't understand what they are reading when they're reading these legal documents are leading their listeners, their watchers astray. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Michelle Simpson Tugel, she is the attorney who won the settlement for the gymnasts who were abused and assaulted by Team USA Dr. Larry Nassar, right? Yeah. Not a woman I'd want to mess with.
No.
She filed a lawsuit against Texas Right to Life and their legislative director, John Segoe. Now, Texas Right to Life is the organization that was behind that hilariously disastrous tip line where they posted a website and said, anyone in the country, if you have any information about people who are performing abortions or aiding or abetting abortions, let us know so we can go and sue them and get the 10 grand bounty. Okay. So Michelle Simpson Tugel says, wait a minute, I don't want you jackasses suing me. So she went into state court and asked for a temporary restraining order against Texas Right to Life and John Segoe, their legislative director, saying, you can't sue me under this law.
Right.
Excellent lawsuit. Brilliantly worded. She won her temporary restraining order yesterday.
Yep.
So then we had a bunch of reporters reporting this as, because she won this temporary restraining order, that the law was blocked.
Right.
Absolutely not.
It's not.
She won the temporary restraining order against Texas Right to Life and John Segoe. Those two entities cannot sue her. They can sue any other provider, any other clinic, any other abortion fund, clergy, whomever is considered an aider and abettor. So you really need to be clear on this fact. Please don't pay attention to reports if you don't think they're right or if they contradict what Jess and I say, because Jess and I are going to be right. And if we ever get something wrong, we are going to correct it immediately. And that is critical. It's just critical. Ugh.
It's, you know, because there's, it's like I said, these are uncharted waters. So there are going to be a lot of questions. And honestly, you know, the longer this law stays on the books, the more dangerous it's going to be for abortion providers and patients, not just in Texas, though, else like across the country, right?
Right.
Because yep. we know that what happens in Texas doesn't stay in Texas, Imani. So,
yeah.
you know, right now, providers are trying to comply with the law. They're trying to get their patients access to care in the ways that they can in compliance with the law. But what does this mean for the rest of the country? This isn't just going to be isolated to Texas, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. What we're going to see is that every state that has, you know, one of those trigger laws that says as soon as Roe v. Wade is overturned, abortion is banned. Roe v. Wade hasn't been officially overturned, but what the court has essentially signaled is that they are fine with this private enforcement bounty hunting scheme. Mm-hmm. So that means all of these states, there's about 24 states that I would imagine within weeks or whenever their next legislative sessions go into session are going to be introducing bills with that same enforcement mechanism. So mm-hmm. essentially, this entire country is going to become a nation of abortion snitches.
Mm-hmm.
And what's particularly problematic about the way that Texas wrote this law, and you know, I gotta say, it's clever to the point of being diabolical. It mm-hmm. truly is. Because what it does, not only does it essentially set up a mechanism whereby abortion providers and funds and other people in the abortion pipeline can be harassed ad infinitum, right? Mm-hmm. So the law says that one abortion provider can be sued by multiple people for providing the same abortion. So that yeah. means if Dr. Jane Doe, you know, performs an abortion on one person, 25 people from states all over the country can sue her over that one abortion.
They're
going to
dogpile lawsuits.
They're going to dogpile lawsuits. Number two, that lawsuit can be filed anywhere in the state of Texas, any of the 254 counties in the state of Texas. That means if you are an abortion provider in Western Texas, someone from Alaska can sue you in state court in Eastern Texas, meaning you have to drive hundreds of miles to go defend yourself in a court that is in a shitty venue. And normally, when you have this situation, like you've seen, you know, Law and Order or any of those docudramas where
I have seen Law and Order, as a matter of fact, Imani,
right?
A couple of times.
You've heard that the people talk about, oh, well, we need to get a change of venue because yeah. this venue isn't proper because the jury has already been, you know, has been biased by media coverage or what have you. People change venue all the time for yeah. myriad reasons, including that the court is just too goddamn far away and I can't defend myself over there.
Being inconvenient is a legitimate reason to change venue.
Texas has disallowed any venue changes when it comes to abortion laws. You can't change venues. That's number two. Number three, and this is actually probably the most infuriating for me as an attorney. If you are an attorney and you choose to represent a provider who is being targeted by one of these abortion snitches, and as part of your defense of that abortion provider, you say that this particular law, SB 8, is unconstitutional, you have to win every single claim that you bring. Otherwise, you are jointly and severally liable automatically for the other side's attorney's fees.
What
now,
does that
mean? Let me explain to you how weird that is. Usually when you file a lawsuit, people are responsible for their own attorney's fees, right?
You pay your own way.
You pay your own way, except in certain circumstances when it comes to like consumer statutes or if a state is trying to dissuade people from filing frivolous nonsense lawsuits.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Here, what is happening is that lawyers are being told, if you raise these claims and you don't win all of these claims, we're going to make you pay the other side's attorney's fees if your client can't pay them. Usually attorney's fees and costs, those are paid by the client, by the actual plaintiffs, not the plaintiff's attorneys. And these costs can be upwards of hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars. So how is an attorney going to want to represent a client and challenge an unconstitutional abortion law if the downside is bankruptcy, right? Losing yeah. their practice because they can't afford to pay these fees that the Texas legislature has foisted upon them. And this only applies to abortion laws. Only applies to abortion laws. So Texas knows that these laws are unconstitutional, and they are trying to dissuade attorneys from challenging them by saying, if you challenge us, we're going to force you to pay about $1 million to do so.
My stomach hurts. It's okay. So can I have a rant? Can I do a rant now?
Please.
I have a rant. Okay. Rant.
I'd love to hear it.
I'm gonna channel my Roy Kent. I'm feeling away. Okay, so Imani, you mentioned that we have been in this space covering these laws for a long ass time, right? And yeah. So I want to remind folks that many, many moons ago, Texas passed a 20-week abortion ban. 20 weeks, that sounds so generous at right. this point compared to right. where we are at. And the 20-week abortion ban stayed on the books, and it stayed on the books for a variety of reasons, one of them being that at the time, there wasn't anybody in the state of Texas that was providing abortions at 20 weeks, so there wasn't a provider who had standing for it. And so at the time, Imani and I were freaking out because we were like, this is really bad. A 20-week ban is a pre-viability, is an unconstitutional pre-viability abortion ban, should not be on the books. But because it stayed there, what did it do? It allowed other states to look to Texas and say, hey, guess what Texas did? Yeah. They passed a 20-week abortion ban, and they kept it on the books, so our 20-week abortion ban should also stay on the books. Yeah. And what happened in conservative and gerrymandered states, 20-week abortion bans became the new normal. Mm-hmm. And then we saw ever more restrictions happen. Mm-hmm. So keeping a 6-week abortion ban on the books, even if this is temporary, even if there's a new lawsuit that gets filed and it gets blocked, is going to give conservative lawmakers in other states more ammunition to argue to Trump judges that their 6-week ban is also or should also stay on the books while this fight continues. And so we will be in a space where we don't even have a final ruling yet, but we will have a whole host of unconstitutional pre-viability abortion bans stacking up across the country.
Yep.
It's a fucking nightmare.
It is.
So, but it's not necessarily over, okay? So, like, as I mentioned, the case is stalled out at the Fifth Circuit for the time being. But that doesn't mean it's over. Individual providers and allies can file their own challenges, okay? So, like, they can kickstart that process all over again. But because of this enforcement provision that Imani keeps talking about, there's not a real clear path to the kind of order blocking the 6-week ban that we're used to reporting on, that we're used to talking to y'all about on this podcast. That enforcement mechanism is really mucking things up.
Mm-hmm. You right, know? Because it just basically, it says you can't sue the government, yeah. even though the government passed this unconstitutional law, and then outsourced enforcement to literally everyone else in the country.
Yeah.
Anyone else in the country. And here's what really bothers me, particularly about Texas Right to Life, and then I'll stop yapping. Texas Right to Life puts up this tip line, right? They're saying, we want tips from all over the country about mm-hmm. who you think might be involved in abortion. That seems like a pretty naked power and money grab to me, because if they're getting tips from other people and they're the ones filing the lawsuits, then they're the ones that get the $10,000 bounty. Yeah. So it's just like they're crowdsourcing harassment against providers so that they can make more money.
It's always a grift, Imani. It's always,
a grift. If you just scratch underneath the surface, you'll find a grift every time.
So there's also the possibility that the Supreme Court justices could like wake up, decide to act, right? They could like eventually get around to weighing in on what's going on. So, I mean, that is a possibility that's still lingering out there, you know, but here we are with Dobbs versus Jay Woo. That is an abortion ban case that's actually on the docket. They don't have to shadow docket anything with that. There's going to be arguments. There's briefs filing. Like, the real deal direct threat to Roe versus Wade is currently on the docket, and we're waiting to find out when they're going to schedule those arguments. So, like, the court gave us a really good indication of what they think of that case. Don't you think, Imani?
Yeah, and as you pointed out to me yesterday, Mississippi, the Mississippi case is about a 15-week ban. Texas already has a 15-week ban on the books, and the Fifth Circuit just said it's okay.
And if you have questions about what is happening on the ground with these lawsuits, with the state of abortion rights and access, please make sure you're following Rewire News Group's Twitter account. And that is where we are doing all of this reporting right now, because things are moving so fast. Like, that's where folks are getting their news. So if you want to know what the latest is happening in your state, across the country, definitely check out our Twitter feed. It is, as the kids say these days, lit. They don't say that anymore.
And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I've been kind of running a lot of the Twitter feed, so it's got a little bit of that angry black lady razzle dazzle. So you're definitely gonna go hit that follow button over on Rewire News Group. And on that note, I think we need to start drinking early. I mean, it's only 9:30, but
I mean, a mimosa.
I mean, what the heck, right? If you have any questions about any of this stuff, please hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Angry Black Lady. Jess is at Hegemami. Follow Rewire News Group on Twitter and on Instagram. If you want to donate, you can go to rewirenewsgroup.com/donate. You know, we need your money to help keep this boom lawyer chip afloat. Jess and I got our fingers plugging holes in the SS abortion, and it's just sinking like the Titanic. Help us out. Put a finger in a hole. That is something I should not have said out loud.
I'm Monty Gandy. This is a family program.
Okay. I think that's enough from me. What are we going to do, Jess?
On that note, folks, we'll see you on the tubes.
We'll see you on the tube, putting holes in... God, I gotta stop. It's bad news. See you on the tubes, folks.
Boom Lawyered is created and hosted by Jessica Mason Piglow and Imani Gandy. Mark Folletti produces the show.